on this sermon theme of glorious diversity, I noticed that all of the images and articles and posts seem to fall into one of two categories. Either the post celebrated diversity or showed the pain that occurs when we shun those who do not fit into our homogenous categories, the most popular or powerful ones at this moment in time. Thursday, the day I sat down to do this writing, was October 11th, which is National Coming Out Day. And as a member of the LGBTQ community, I've known about and I've celebrated this day for almost two decades now. But never before have I seen so many heterosexual people and ministers publicly proclaim their appreciation for non-heterosexual people. Granted, my social media does include a lot of progressive Christian people, but still, it was uplifting to see the diversity of sexual orientations and gender identities celebrated and recognized. These were the posts that I saw that celebrated diversity that day. But then I scrolled down farther, and I saw the news story about several Edmond North High School students who were recently transferred out of their school to escape a culture of racism that exists among the students. A senior at the school said, "If you're at a different school, you know Edmond North is like this. It's very natural for white people to say the N-word. It makes me angry," he says. "There's a bunch of black people here that don't feel like they belong, and I'm one of those people." Rhonda Robinson, a grandmother of three former Edmond North students, said, 90% of the people she talks to about the school say it's not good for students of color. Recently, one of her grandchildren discovered he was featured in a racist photo circulating on social media. The photo showed his head cropped on another student's chest, a racial slur pointing at his head. The school administrators initiated a prompt investigation, and the student who shared the derogatory post was found within minutes and disciplined in accordance with the district's harassment, intimidation, bullying policy. And Robinson's kids were granted permission to transfer to another school. Racism and other isms and phobias, such as sexism and ableism and xenophobia, are all ill mindsets which try to deny and suppress the diversity that God has created on earth. Our scripture from Genesis 11 has often been interpreted as a warning against the dangers of human pride. But if you look closer, it's a tale about God being displeased with the homogeneity, which means sameness, uniformity, and consistency that human beings were cultivating. This story falls right after the one about Noah and the flood. And a few months ago when we covered this text, we learned that there are several different accounts of the story written by different authors. So one author known as the Priestley writer documented the spread of peoples and cultures and languages after the flood through the genealogy of Noah and his sons. But the other writer, the Yahwist, used the events in this Tower of Babel story to display the conflict our human drive for sameness has amidst God's divine plan for diversity. Biblical scholars tell us that the motivation for building a city and tower is human resistance to being scattered. Now, scattered is a key word in the original text and is repeated three times in this story. In this scripture, God corrects the sameness that the people have tried to create. God mixes up their languages and disperses the people all over the earth. The divine plan was for all of us to be different, not the same. And yet, throughout the ages, many societies keep lifting up one image that is acceptable. And all who are different from this image are labeled as not enough, as not welcome, as not blessed. My first church call in Minnesota had an ethnic makeup like that of many churches in the area. Folks were mostly white, of German or Scandinavian descent. I attended a small group at this church. It was called Sacred Conversations on Race. And we were engaged in an effort to diversify the books and the art and the toys and all the images found within our congregation. So we hung up new posters depicting images of diversity in the hallway. We purged many of the children's books that only portrayed God or Jesus or the disciples as white. And we purchased new inclusive literature. And we placed dolls of many colors in the nursery. There was only one black man who was a member of the church, and I'll never forget what he told me one day. He said, "It is important to show the diversity of the world because the sameness that we see in our church, in this state, and in the media is not representative of what actually exists on earth." I stopped and I thought about that. I was on board with diversifying our church culture because I thought it was the right thing to do, to be welcoming to all. But until that moment, I realized I had actually thought that the majority of the world did look like me, because that's what I saw everywhere I looked. To realize that this, in fact, is incorrect, and that when you count the populations of different ethnic groups, there are more Chinese and Indian people than any other ethnicity. This was an important and mindset-changing fact that I needed to understand as someone whose skin is portrayed as the image that others should aspire to. This is now our fifth week in exploring the basics of creation spirituality. And today we've been focusing on glorious diversity within the cosmos. Marcia McPhee, in her summary of this essential, says this: "Creation spirituality rejoices in and courageously honors the rich diversity expressed in every individual, which embodies multiple cultures, religions, and ancestral traditions. Creation is rife with theme and variation, and yet fear has driven us to try to tame and label and homogenize it. What do we lose when we privilege dominant voices and limit perspectives? Diversity is another name for God and should be celebrated." Here are two questions for us to contemplate about diversity. Number one, do you experience diversity as glorious? Or were you raised to be suspicious of difference? And number two, where or when have you seen a coming together of people from different backgrounds or groups? Matthew Fox, a European American, says, "It is time that European Americans honored Native Americans by inviting them to teach, and Christians honor Jewish people, and men honor women, which is not putting them on pedestals, but listening to their experience, and men honor men. Is this not at the heart of male liberation movements? And adults honor the young, and all honor our elders. And the northern wealthy one-third of the human race honor the southern poor two-thirds. And the humans honor the non-human brothers and sisters with whom we share this planet. In this way, we will begin to live out the morality that follows from a cosmic spirituality. And we will learn to ground our justice, our struggle for justice, rights, and responsibilities, and the most common ground of all, our shared experience of awe." Last Friday, I spent my next to last continuing education day at Commonwealth Urban Farms. You've been hearing me talk about this. And since it was October, we learned all about planting cover crops, the things that you plant in fall and winter, not because it's what you want to harvest, but because it's what the soil needs and desires. Our Oklahoma soil is mostly made of red clay. But if you want it to be nutrient enough to produce healthy food, you have to rotate the types of things that you plant in it. Each plant brings its own diverse gifts to the ground. And as long as each one is local or indigenous to this ecosystem, rotating what is planted improves the pH levels underground. Just like the flora and fauna on Earth, each one of us is part of the diversity within our ecosystem. We have been created with a unique makeup, with gifts that only we can bring to the table. I watched a video interview this week of Reverend Bill Kroll. And if you remember back to our first week of this series, I told you he was the one that introduced me to creation spirituality when I was in college. And he was interviewed about this importance of glorious diversity. And he says that each one of us has been created for this particular time in history. And not only can we bring our distinctive gifts, we have a responsibility to do so. Reverend Cole used to prepare for his sermons by doing research in lots of different books, but now he understands that there's much more diversity of wisdom to draw upon. The breadth of gifts outside your kitchen window and the witness that's contained within the person that is sitting right next to you are just as important as book knowledge. The author of our contemporary reading for today, John Philip Newell, he's a poet and a peacemaker, a minister and a scholar based in Edinburgh, Scotland. He talks about the problems we have when we do not fall in love with the heart of one another, with other nations, and with other species. This was the number one quality that made me know that I could be a pastor. God has gifted me with the ability to fall in love with so many different types of people, with curmudgeons and crowd pleasers, with kindred spirits and killjoys, with porcupines and panda bears. But it's not only pastors that need to cultivate and encourage this world-saving quality. When you are able to love the heart of so many others, not in spite of their quirks, but because of them, then you can delight in the distinctiveness and individuality that God has gifted our planet with. No one is perfect, and everyone is going to get annoyed or bothered by folks who are different than you are from time to time. But challenging oneself to fall in love with someone's heart is much more freeing than constantly staying peeved because someone looks or understands or acts differently than you do. It brought me great joy to have so many folks publicly express that they have fallen in love with the heart of LGBTQ people on National Coming Out Day. That some are not trying to build cities and towers of homogeneity or sameness in our culture, but that we're willing to let God continue to create us according to the divine plan, non-uniform, scattered out, mixed up and dispersed beautifully here and there, each one reflecting the diversity and beauty of God. Each one of us is helping to improve the pH level of our ecosystems because our differentness brings sacred health to those around us. Diversity is another name for God and should be celebrated. May it be so. Amen.